The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purposes of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these televised proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Good afternoon. You may be seated. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Charlie Parker. I'm the Speaker here of the House of Assembly. And I want to welcome everyone here to Treaty Day, our celebrations, and our award ceremony. And it's certainly my distinct pleasure this afternoon to be your Masters of Ceremony. Before we move on, I just want to mention that we do have room here on the floor for members of the Grand Council if they wish to come down, and the chairs will be available here to sit on the floor next to our Sergeant at Arms. So you're most welcome to come down and be seated. While that's happening, I'm going to call upon Elder John Joe Sark, a member of the Mi'kmaq Grand Council, to perform the opening ceremony.
O Great Spirit, we pay homage to you in the East. Come to us with the power of the rising sun. Great Spirit, we ask you to bless this gathering as we honor the treaties that we have signed with the British Crown and the Roman Catholic Church. We also gathered here today, Great Spirit, to celebrate the 400th year anniversary of the National Mi'kmaq Grand Chief Member Tu's baptism. We hope and pray that our treaties with the Crown will be implemented and all our rights under these treaties be immediately recognized. Let the youth know of the love that all the families and friends have for them. Let there be light in our words. Let there be light on the path that we walk. Let us rise to always accept the new beginnings that we set before us each day. O Great Spirit, we pay homage to you in the South. We thank you for our people and things that warm our hearts, especially our precious Mi'kmaq language, culture, and traditions that were passed down to us by the ancestors. Comfort us and caress us when we are tired and cold. Unfold us like the gentle breezes that unfold the breezes that the leaves on the trees. Send us the warm, soothing winds from the South. Give us the gift of compassion so we can melt the ice that may have formed around our hearts. The South is a drumbeat of life, the place of the heart, the precious place in our life where unconditional generosity, sensitivity, and love flows. You have taught us that to be truly strong, we must also be kind. To be truly wise, we must temper justice with mercy. And to be truly brave, we must match courage with compassion. O Great Spirit, we thank you for the many beautiful red and purple sunsets and the ending of our lives. Never let us forget that we must fade into you. The sun sets in the west and calls us to our spiritual maturity. Never let us forget that we must fade into you and that the end is better than the beginning. When it is time to finally return to you, give us a glorious sky like the beautiful red and golden leaves of the fall, so that when it is time to finally meet you, we will come to you in glory. Great Spirit, we pay homage to you to the north. We thank you for this path of darkness. Your winter snows reminds us of the white hair of our elders who guide and counsel us. Allow our young people again to seek the counsel of their elders. Let the elders teach the youth that they have much to offer to Mother Earth, and that families and friends care for them and want to help them in any way they can. We thank you for the beautiful snow that covers Mother Earth in the winter months. This snow protects all the seedlings, the little creatures, and Mother Earth from the cold, icy winds. Great Spirit, as this is the time of reconciliation with governments and the Roman Catholic Church, we ask you to touch the hearts of those authorities and let them know that reconciliation is not just saying we're sorry. They must say we're sorry and mean it and show something to us that they care, that they're sorry, and that they will change things and help us bring back our language and our culture. We'll all in Miskam.
Thank you. I would now like to call on upon the Honorable John Duncan, Minister of Indian Affairs and Northern Development Canada, to provide remarks here today.
Good afternoon, Elders, Grand Chief Sillaboy, Grand Captain Denny, Premier, Chiefs, members of the Nova Scotia Legislature, community members, and honored guests. This is the first time I have had the honor to attend Mi'kmaq Treaty Day celebration, and I am delighted to be part of this important and historic event. Mi'kmaq Treaty Day commemorates the signing of the Peace and Friendship Treaties of the 1700s. Treaties continue to be an important part of our history and help shape Canada's relationship with First Nations. The Peace and Friendship Treaties are the basis for the partnerships we share today between the Mi'kmaq and the Crown. More than 300 years later, this partnership has now grown to include the Mi'kmaq, the federal government, and the provincial government. We continue to work towards strengthening this partnership, and cooperation lead to great accomplishments. In fact, just last month, we announced the Mi'kmaq Nova Scotia Canada Tripartite Forum, a process designed to address the treaty and Aboriginal rights and title of Mi'kmaq in Nova Scotia. I'm also pleased to acknowledge the success of another recent celebration, the Member to 400th celebration, which marked the 400th anniversary of the baptism of Grand Chief Henry Member II in 1610. This event provided a wonderful opportunity to learn more about the Mi'kmaq history. As we gather to celebrate the unique culture and heritage of the Mi'kmaq today, I also encourage everyone to remember the treaties of peace and friendship and what we have accomplished together. Thank you very much for this opportunity to share this wonderful celebration. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. And I'd now like to call upon Chief Morley Gugu to provide his remarks.
On behalf of the Mi'kmaq Chiefs of Nova Scotia, welcome everyone to this year's Treaty Day celebrations. We are honored to have with us Grand Chief Ben Sillaboy, Chief Captain Andle Denny, Grand Council members, Mi'kmaq band chiefs and council members, many of our elders, and all our Mi'kmaq community members. I would also like to extend a warm welcome to AFN's Regional Chief, Rick Simon, the Honorable Minister, John Duncan, Mr. Premier, Minister also of Aboriginal Affairs, Honorable Charles Parker, Honorable Denise Patterson-Rayfuse, and Judith Sullivan Cornier, Deputy Minister. Today's event caps a remarkable year for Mi'kmaq people in our province, both from a cultural and a political perspective. Let me begin by saying something I think most Mi'kmaq would agree with, and that is, as First Nation people, we have often been made to feel like strangers in our own land. Land that we have lived on for centuries before European contact. The broader public going about its business largely unaware of who we are, what we believe in, how we live, and what we contribute. In June of this year, I felt things began to change when over 80,000 people, the vast majority non-Aboriginal, gathered at the Halifax Commons to celebrate Membertou 400. For many of non-Aboriginal descent, it was their first introduction to our culture. And by all accounts, they were thrilled to have the opportunity to get to know us better. In this regard, I believe that Membertou 400 celebrations did more to build bridges of friendship and cultural understanding than any history book, political speech, or lesson plan ever could. It was the turning point, not just for the Mi'kmaq people, but for this province. The estimated value of this event to the local economy was $2.5 million. The value of the celebration to the Mi'kmaq people, however, was immeasurable. As Sister Dorothy said, every Mi'kmaq who attended the Membertou 400 celebration walked away taller. Cheryl Reed said of this celebration, "I enjoyed the event so much. When I first saw the tea piece and heard the drum, I cried tears of joy for finding what I had lost. I have rediscovered my ancestors' pride and connection to Mother Earth. Thank you for this gift." And of course, Nova Scotia's Mi'kmaq community was thrilled that Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip personally requested that Membertou 400 Cultural Village be included in their royal visit. On behalf of the Grand Council and my fellow chiefs from across Nova Scotia, I would like to acknowledge and thank Deborah Guinness for her vision and leadership in making this wonderful celebration a reality. Have a round of applause for her. I'd also like to thank the three levels of government for their support and urge you to continue to invest in future opportunities that enable our people to continue to share our proud history and our rich culture with the broader public. And as one of three finalists for the Tourism Industry Association of Canada's prestigious award as Event of the Year, it would be a shame not to build on the success of that event. In its first year, had such a positive economic and cultural impact on our province. Another highlight this summer was the annual St. Anne Mission in Bordeladec, Chapel Island. To commemorate the 400th anniversary, the baptism of Mi'kmaq Grand Chief Henry Membertou, the Mi'kmaq Nation was honored to have Cardinal Mark Ouellette celebrate Mass with our people. Cardinal Ouellette is now head of the Congregation for Bishops at the Vatican. Also this summer, a beautiful sculpture of Grand Chief Membertou was unveiled alongside of the late Grand Chief Donald Marshall Sr. 2010 has been noteworthy in other ways. After 10 years hiatus, the Mi'kmaq Summer Games were revived with member to being a host and doing a great job. I look forward to next year's games with Wamu Cook as our host. Mr. Premier, in your address this time last year, you said 50% of today's Mi'kmaq are under 25 years of age, and the number is growing. The new generation can be part of stronger communities and a stronger provincial economy. It is entirely appropriate that we reflect on your message of building confidence and supporting Mi'kmaq youth on this occasion on Treaty Day celebrations. Our youth will play an increasingly important role in securing Nova Scotia's future. Nova Scotia has the second oldest population in Canada and will need all the young talent it can muster up to address the labour market demands and anticipated skill shortages. First Nation youth need to take their rightful place in our provincial economy and be provided with the opportunities to support Nova Scotia be the best that it can be. 2010 was also a promising in our government-to-government relations. With the province and Canada signing the consultation terms of reference agreement held in Millbrook on August 31st. This agreement, the first of its kind in Canada, was a historic milestone in the advancement of Mi'kmaq government relations in Nova Scotia. It represents a firm commitment by the Mi'kmaq, federal and provincial governments to discuss the Mi'kmaq issues through a common framework. The need for a common framework to discuss and resolve our common issues began with our treaties of peace and friendship. Our treaties represent a sacred trust and commitment between two nations to resolve our own internal differences through a common framework based on peace and friendship. To that end, I am pleased to announce on behalf of the Assembly of Nova Scotia Mi'kmaq Chiefs that on this day, October 1st, 2010, Treaty Day, the Assembly of Nova Scotia Mi'kmaq Chiefs are moving forward with Mi'kmaq nationhood. A resolution has been passed respecting to the Assembly's constitution and development of nationhood portfolios on Mi'kmaq governance in Nova Scotia. In other words, the Assembly has advanced the governance process by designating certain portfolios, including those respecting governance, lands, fisheries, wildlife, culture, heritage, education, and health. Other portfolios will be added. The next step for the Assembly is to appoint lead chiefs or Assembly chiefs, and in your case, would it be Minister of Health? We would have Assembly Chief of Health. Reflecting back, the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia had a lot to celebrate this year. But as I am sure Chief Paul will tell you, there are still many outstanding issues we need to collectively resolve. Let us move forward together with the same spirit of peace and friendship that guided our ancestors when they signed their first treaty 258 years ago. Finally, on behalf of the Assembly of Nova Scotia Mi'kmaq Chiefs, I want to congratulate the elders and the youth that are being honored here today. It is for you and for all Mi'kmaq that we share a vision filled with hope and confidence in the future. Olalio.
Thank you, Chief Gugu. And I'd now like to call upon Chief Terry Paul for a few remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, through you, I'd like to acknowledge the Grand Chief, the Grand Captain, the Grand Council, Samoak, the Minister, and the Premier and the ministers, provincial ministers, and special guests, and the people that are in the gallery here. Thank you for coming. Mr. Premier, I also like to give you a special thank you for welcoming us in your house. I look forward to the day soon that we Mi'kmaq welcome you to our House of Assembly. Thank you. Let me first say how pleased I am to be here today with my colleagues and senior political leaders and officials. I am simply delighted to have the opportunity to speak to all of you during this important celebration of Treaty Day 2010 at the start of Mi'kmaq History Month. As a day for reflection on the progress we have been able to make as a people, and to also recognize the challenges that remain and continue to confront us. Treaty Day may well be the most important day on our calendar. Through the direct celebration of Treaty Day, though the direct celebration of Treaty Day is a relatively recent phenomenon arising from the decision of the Supreme Court of Canada of 1985, I can say that the treaties our forefathers established with the Europeans, including the Treaty of 1752, have always been a source of both pride and guidance for our people. We have always believed in them. We believe in the wisdom of our forefathers and of our elders, and that abiding belief has seen us through many dark days as a people. While we were thrilled to have the Treaty of 1752 officially upheld and validated by the highest court in the land in 1985, and while we appreciate having the growing body of law that upholds and interprets our Aboriginal rights so that they are better understood, I can tell you that we did not need the court to tell us what our rights are. Countless generations of Mi'kmaq over the years have borne the obligations and sacrifices to strive to improve our lot, to move the yardstick forward to get us to the point that we could take our rightful place at the table as a people and as a government. And as we know, the future has not always looked bright and does not even look uniformly so today. How Aboriginal peoples have been treated in Canada is admittedly a disgrace and not something in which the country should be proud of. The report of the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples in the 90s is a testament to that observation, and regrettably, many of its findings are as relevant and germane today as they were when the report was first tabled. As my colleagues will report, this past summer, we had an unprecedented opportunity to recognize and celebrate the wisdom and leadership of one of our most revered and beloved ancestors, Grand Chief Andre Membertou. And for the first time in my memory, the events around the Membertou 400 celebration also provided a tremendous and perhaps unprecedented opportunity for our friends and neighbors, ordinary Nova Scotians, Canadians, and all of our school children to learn constructively about the wisdom and leadership of the First Nation peoples. While the Membertou 400 celebrations were both a unifying and gratifying experience for the Mi'kmaq people, we need to build on this positive event. We need to take it to the next level, and we need to make sure that there is no backsliding. That, unfortunately, has often been the history, and it is a history that we must not see repeated. The Treaty of 1752 also designated October 1st as the date on which the Mi'kmaq people will arrive in Halifax each year to receive gifts from the Crown and to renew their friendship and submissions. And so this event provides a timely opportunity to lay out expectations, to signal intentions, and to seek confirmation and collaboration with the Crown in continuing the forward march to improve the lives of the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia. This is the focus of my thoughts and observations today. The recent observance of Treaty Day was first proclaimed October 1, 1986, by then Grand Chief Donald Marshall Sr. In the early days, the province was not a participant in the celebration of Treaty Day. Thankfully, from 1993 onward, under then Premier John Savage and our Grand Chief Ben Sillaboy, we now recognize and celebrate Treaty Day and officially accord this day the gravity and the significance it deserves in the evolution of the understanding and affirmation of our people's inalienable rights. As I reflect on the future, I must tell you that I do worry that we continue to use an occasion like this to its highest and best purpose. The celebration of Treaty Day must not be regarded as just a ceremonial event. It must not become simply a time for good fellowship, however well intentioned. It must become a time of stock taking, of accounting for what has been achieved over the past year. And both the Crown and the Mi'kmaq leaders need to be held to the highest standard in regard to achievements sought and able to be reached. And we must collectively acknowledge and take responsibility for our failures. Treaty Day must become a time for an acknowledgement of the past that has not always been fair and just for the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia, and a collective resolve to aggressively address the inequities that continue to exist today. A time for redoubling of our efforts to work together for the betterment of Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia. It must be a renewal of our abiding commitment to optimize opportunities for our young people to provide improved education options and to open the same doors for career choice and opportunity that are open to the rest of Nova Scotians. It must be a time when we seriously revisit our people's right of self-determination in governing ourselves and being supported, aided, and abetted in achieving this fairly, reasonably, and in a time frame that is not overly restrictive or constraining to our legitimate aspirations. And it must be a time to reinforce our rights and our primacy in being part of economic development opportunities and initiatives in this province. We must not be bypassed, as it has been the case so many times in the past, and which continues to confound even today. That's notwithstanding the progress that has legitimately been made. There are very small steps. We need to make more steps, bigger steps. The challenges facing Aboriginal peoples and the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia are significant, complex, and often perplexing. There are no simple solutions. It is ultimately about the resolve of First Nation leaders and their partners to press ahead and to drive continuous improvement on so many fronts simultaneously, including governance, education, the health and wellness of our people. First Nations people suffer disproportionately from diseases like diabetes. And perhaps most importantly, economic development. Our success in this regard is pivotally important for our future. Without successful economic development initiatives, future opportunities for our people are very limited, and in effect, the door is closed. And Treaty Day also has to be about the resolve of the Crown to help First Nations accede to a new governance model that will respect their aspirations, abilities, and Aboriginal rights. The future model needs to rise above and get beyond the paternalism that has so often permeated our structures and relationships in the past. When you hear my colleagues rightly report that what a great year 2010 has been thus far for the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia, it is easy to fall into complacency. It is easy to rest on the laurels of past triumphs. And it truly has been a great year. In fact, a stellar year, and one of which I am both gratified and proud. But rather lulling me into complacency, it says to me that we have a steeper hill to climb this coming year if we are to exceed the accomplishments of 2010. If we can achieve this much progress in a single year, think for a moment what we can do if we redouble our efforts and focus on the clear and very challenging agenda ahead. It is right, just, and appropriate that we should make such a compact and bring forth such an undertaking on Treaty Day. And so, this is the gauntlet that I am laying down today. Let us resolve to make 2011 even better than it was in 2010. Let us resolve to move the yardstick even further. Let us resolve to ensure that when we gather here next year, we are able to honestly reflect on even greater progress than we have the satisfaction of acknowledging today. Thank you. Wilalio.
Thank you, Chief Paul. And I'd now like to call upon our Mi'kmaq Grand Council, Captain Andrew Denny.
Wilalin, Mr. Speaker, Njawistoch. Thank you, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody as Chief Morley and Chief Terry did before me, Mr. Premier, Jisakamau, John Duncan, Minister of Indian Affairs, all the dignitaries, elders, you know, and to me, it's become something like friends and family. That's kind of like the situation we've gotten to. You know, I feel like I know these people on a first name basis, and that's what it should be all about. But before I get to my speech, I was asked by Grand Chief to read a letter. So, for Grand Chief, I will do this. At the request of His Eminence Cardinal Marcolet, Special Envoy of His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI, to the celebrations marking the 400th anniversary of the baptism of Grand Chief Member 2, I have the honor of forwarding the enclosed rosary blessed by the Holy Father for you and for the members of the Grand Council as a token of his paternal affection for the Mi'kmaq and in appreciation for the dedicated efforts on the part of the organizing committee to mark in a suitable and noteworthy manner this important milestone in the history of the Mi'kmaq nation. I also take this opportunity to thank you and your collaborators for the warm and hospitable welcome that was accorded to the papal delegation on the occasion of the celebrations at Chapel Island, and pray that the great demonstration of faith so evident at these events will bear abundant fruit for the future well-being and prosperity of your people. With every good wish and kind regard, I am sincerely in the Lord, Monsignor Luca Laracca from the Papal Nuncio's office in Ottawa. And many of the, as I was joking a little earlier, I think Morley must have seen my speech. But on behalf of the Mi'kmaq Nation, and the Grand Council, Once again, I am delighted to address you as your Grand Captain on Treaty Day. Today is a particular honor for me in celebrating more than 400 years of Mi'kmaq diplomacy and treaties. As United Mi'kmaq, under our ancient alliances, we have been a part of many great accomplishments this year, memorializing our ancestors' vision and achievements. The Grand Council and our organizations have been honored once again by the reaffirmation of our alliances, not only with Canada, but with the British Crown and with the Vatican. We hold these alliances sacred, and we continue to share a dream that the spirit and intent of our treaties and compacts will one day be realized. We hold strong in the belief that the Mi'kmaq people will be unified one day with strong partnerships that link us into a constitutional force that create not only a better life for Mi'kmaq, but for all people in Atlantic Canada. This year, I have been humbled and honored to see the amazing accomplishments of our people working together. With the 400 celebrations and the first compact with Grand Chief Membertou and the Holy See, we shared in these celebrations at the Halifax Commons, we shared with these celebrations in Port Royal. It was such an unbelievable sight when you see people, and I am not speaking of governments or leaders, of people coming together as they should. It is very important. We are also delighted to have as our honored guest Queen Elizabeth II. Our Crown's head of state. It was an honor for me and many other Mi'kmaq delegates to speak with her and to show her the richness of our hospitality. She not only took home a beautiful basket as a gift from Elder Caroline Gould, she also heard and saw the families demonstrating that our ways of life may have changed a little, but the core of our being Mi'kmaq lives on in our treaties with the Crown, in our families, in our commitment to our language, in our culture. It made me proud, as I know many of you also felt the same way. It was so great to reaffirm our relationship with the Holy See when His Holiness sent a special envoy to meet with the Grand Council during the Feast of St. Anne. It was indeed a great honor that after many invitations and correspondences between us and the Vatican, that they would send a man of great faith to not only meet with us, but to discuss reconciliation and a renewed belief in Mi'kmaq culture and spirituality. We had many good talks. The event captured more than 10 years of planning and working toward having the kind of recognition from the Pope. And while we did not get His Holiness himself, we were happy with the ambassador that we had received. We have now accomplished this vision, an event that looked like the impossible and then the improbable. But the important thing is that after 400 years, we have finally been able to sit down, and again, we will meet again in the future to discuss the many wrongs that have been committed, not only by Canada, but by the Church, against our people. As Captain John Joe Sark mentioned, saying, "I'm sorry," is not the Mi'kmaq way. Mi'kmaq culture, language, and the values that we have, it's a lot deeper than just saying, "I'm sorry." The Grand Council was also pleased that not only we were able to share our proud history and celebrations, we also were able to oversee a book that highlights our history, our treaties, and our members of the Grand Council. I must take time to thank the members of the Mi'kmaq Tripartite Forum and their Education Committee for giving us the opportunity to give you a glimpse into our proud history and to those who worked on this project. Honoring 400 years provided a glimpse into our history, and we encourage our youth, our scholars, our educators to read it, use it, commit it to our oral histories, and continue to share our proud history. It is important for us as Mi'kmaq educators to ensure that our history is told from our perspective. not only as the original inhabitants of this unceded Mi'kmaq territory. We cannot depend on others bringing it to the public. We must do this ourselves as part of our self-determination. Our oral history, our songs, our stories, our language, and our knowledge are every bit as important as the colonizers' history, and let no one tell you different. Your ancestors and your elders were not wrong, and we continue to prove that today. These many accomplishments and celebrations only affirm what the Grand Council has been saying for a number of years. Look at what can be accomplished when we work together. And it is not only Mi'kmaq. There's two parts to a treaty. There's two alliances, and sometimes maybe more. When you look at the treaties with the British, Canada also shares in that when they took over their constitution in 1982. On this note, I would like, as Morley mentioned earlier, Chief Gugu, I'd like to thank Deborah Guinness, the Office of Aboriginal Affairs, the Province of Nova Scotia, Culture and Heritage, the Federal Government, the Halifax Regional Municipality, and the City of Halifax itself, and the people. Believe me, just being at the Commons was unbelievable. And there are so many people, I probably will forget somebody, but believe me, I'm not doing it on purpose. We had such a wonderful time, and it brought us together. But I have to mention that when Her Majesty was here, and she was reviewing the fleet of all the international fleets that were there, navies and so forth, it really made me sad, just for the fact that I almost sent out seven canoes from the seven districts of the Mi'kmaq and had them line up. But I would never mock my people or my government or my ancestors. The thing is, and the point is, it seems like that every nation in the world has prospered except for my people. There may come a time then where we'll have our own navy again, but we are looking forward to discussing this with the Navy, and you know, things look bright right now. And on that behalf, I will keep going with my speech. But I must state, we must learn from many of these accomplishments. United and working together, Mi'kmaq and our alliances can build on our accomplishments, and together we can implement our alliances and our treaties. It's time that we as Mi'kmaq build on the positive momentum of the year and continue utilizing this unified and dynamic collaboration to move forward toward prosperity while sustaining our Mi'kmaq treaties and values. The Grand Chief, myself, the captains of the Grand Council, and sometimes we have watched and sometimes participated as our elected leaders plan a new path moving forward in the hopes of an honorable governance of our nation. We applaud in their steps, but we are cautious of creating a system based on beliefs and values that are not Mi'kmaq. We see great opportunities moving forward toward prosperity for our people, but only if the system of governance is reflective of the spirit and intent of our treaties and our proud Mi'kmaq culture. With that in mind, we once again ask the Mi'kmaq organizations and the elected leadership to begin to utilize the Mi'kmaq Grand Council. As Mi'kmaq, we have seen the continued erosion of our culture and way of life by the Indian Act, which has divided us, which had attempted to break our culture and values, and which has created a system of dependency on government. This is the dependency that my father would call the fool's gold. I am often troubled by the Indian Act and its goals to assimilate and dispose us of our inheritances. It told us where we could live, how we could live, who was one of us, and how to select our leaders. Yet this is not consistent with our Mi'kmaq rights and our traditional Mi'kmaq government. It is important to point out just how fragile our band governments are. because they get their authority from Canada. And we see in Indian Brook, it can be taken away overnight. We will continue to say it is not the people, but the Indian Act, and that the system is flawed and to blame. The system was forced on us, a byproduct of the old colonial system. And with every re-election that is called, it wreaks havoc in our communities and families, and the system of the Indian Act and its agents. Indian Affairs must share the blame. We could ask the government to fix this problem, but we know they may not. They realize that as long as we fight each other, we are not focusing on asserting our rights and our resources. Again, in my father's words, how can you be the cure if you're the disease? I have seen the negative system at work in every Mi'kmaq reserve and community across our lands, and I only shake my head when I see our communities divided. It is time to correct that system and create a Mi'kmaq democracy based on our constitutional rights and our culture. I am tired of seeing a government that does not serve all Mi'kmaq people, but only a few. We need, as leaders, to stop fighting over who gets to manage our poverty and begin to focus on asserting our rights as we have done for generations. To accomplish constitutional reconciliation of our rights, we need you. We need each of you because this isn't going to be easy. Changing the course of our future is going to be hard. But if we are willing to rise to this challenge like we have always done, then together we will write our own destiny once more. It will only happen if we plan together, if we think together, and if we move and work together. It is our time to make another America on history, our time to write a new chapter on Mi'kmaq governance. Our time now is to leave our children with a nation that is organized, prosperous, and contribute to the best of who we are and who we can be. When we speak of Treaty Day, as Chief Paul just mentioned, Treaty Day is to be celebrated by all Mi'kmaq in the 7 districts, and that is Atlantic Canada. It should be a holiday in all of Atlantic Canada. Halifax is only mentioned because there was no Atlantic Canada in 1752. As I have mentioned before, the premiers of each of those provinces should also be here and join us. We cannot move forward without them. As the national government and the traditional government of the Mi'kmaq, I thank you, and I want to congratulate all the winners and the award winners today. I really want to thank Premier Dexter in Nova Scotia and the city for everything that it has done for the Mi'kmaq. As Chief Paul and Google mentioned, we still have a lot to do, but we can do it. It's just like having tea, little Luskanigan. It's a homemade bread. Well, that's why we have so much diabetes, I guess. But yeah. But the thing is, I thank you, and I wish everybody a good trip home. Olalio.
Thank you very much, Grand Captain. Well said. It is now my distinct pleasure to call upon our Premier, Darrell Dexter, and our Minister of Aboriginal Affairs for a few remarks.
Thank you, Speaker, Grand Chief Sillaboy, Grand Captain, Minister, Deputies, Chiefs, Elders, respected guests, and friends. Since the last Treaty Day 1 year ago, we have all shared in some unforgettable celebrations, good work, and I believe real progress. The celebration of the baptism of Grand Chief Membertou is a fine example. As many of you know, Grand Chief Member Two stood for international peace, for spiritual acceptance, and for cultural tolerance. I have always held a great interest in Nova Scotia's past leaders because I believe that there is much that can be learned from their experiences and the qualities of our fair forefathers. Grand Chief Member Two stands out among them. He demonstrated the qualities of intelligence, courage, selflessness, and leadership. 400 years ago, he was a man who shaped the faith of his people and the fate of a nation. And that is why approximately 80,000 people from across Canada and the United States attended dancing and drumming competitions, reenactments, masses, and concerts in communities around the province. Many important and influential people were a part of those celebrations. The Pope's representative to Canada, Archbishop Pedro Quintana, participated in the Member Two 400 celebrations. And of course, Her Majesty the Queen and His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh specifically requested a tour of the Mi'kmaq Cultural Village, which is one of the highlights of their Nova Scotia visit. The 400th anniversary of the baptism of Grand Chief Member Two was a deeply significant event and one which I was proud and honored to participate in. I was particularly delighted to learn that this celebration was recently selected as one of the top three finalists for the Canadian Tourism Association's Event of the Year. Congratulations to everyone involved. The past year also saw a great deal of other productive work done. Perhaps the most recent example, which was previously mentioned, is our consultation terms of reference. 3 years ago and signed just 3 years in the making, rather, and signed just a month ago. This landmark agreement creates a clear and consistent single-window approach to decision-making around development, protection, and regulation, and formally recognizes the important role of the Mi'kmaq in that decision-making. It is the only agreement of its kind in Canada. The meeting of chiefs and cabinet enabled important discussions on Mi'kmaq self-sufficiency and government-to-government relations. Together, we set priorities in energy, land and resources, as well as improvements to health, education, and employment for the Mi'kmaq of Nova Scotia. And I have also met with the chiefs and other Mi'kmaq leaders individually. Later this year, we will regroup, we will assess our progress, and we will look to the year ahead. Our work together on the Mi'kmaq Health Policy Framework has also been vital in helping to ensure better health care for you and your families. This framework will ensure that the health care system is providing comprehensive care to all Aboriginal people living in this province. It addresses barriers to the health care system. It clarifies the roles and responsibility for the delivery of health care services, and it engages Aboriginal people in the planning of health service delivery. Another collaboration that we can celebrate today is the efforts toward the establishment of the Major Resource and Energy Fund. This fund will create a sustainable future for Mi'kmaq communities by making them partners in the development of the renewable energy sector in Nova Scotia. The Mi'kmaq are also developing, with the assistance of the province, a renewable energy strategy that will complement the province's own renewable electricity plan. We made good progress this year towards improving educational outcomes for Mi'kmaq learners. Provincial assessments are being implemented in First Nations schools, and data is being collected in the public school system that will guide the customization of programs and services for Mi'kmaq students. And during the past year, the National Aboriginal Affairs Working Group was formed and met twice. And so far, the group has identified priorities in economic development, education, and eliminating violence against Aboriginal women and girls, and is now developing plans to address these priorities. This work led to a constructive discussion between premiers and the leaders of national Aboriginal organizations this summer. I was impressed by the shared focus of all of the leaders on getting results in these areas. There is much work ahead of us, of course, but the caliber of leadership that I have seen at all of these tables and the clear and shared focus tells me that the work will be done, and it will be done right. So I join you today on this important day, filled with the pride and accomplishments to date, confidence in future plans, and eagerness to continue the work. While there is much to be done, we have the will and we have the ability to do it. We have a growing history of achievement to encourage us. This day, Treaty Day, is a day to reflect on all of these things, the celebrations, the achievements, and the work yet to be done. And now, in a highlight of Treaty Day I look particularly forward to, we will celebrate the work and achievement of several individuals. Wallalio.
Well, thank you, Premier. And as he indicated, it's now our pleasure to begin the awards presentation, and you'll see some of those on the table there in front of me. And we're going to start off with the winners of the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Elder Awards. And today we honor three people who have brought honor and a lifetime of service to their communities. Now, the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Memorial Elder Award has been presented since 1993 to an individual or individuals nominated by the Aboriginal community for their contributions to their communities over their lifetimes. And the recipients are chosen from the nominees by the Treaty Day Committee. So it is my pleasure today to present the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Memorial Award to three individuals. And the first recipient is Levi M. Denny. Unfortunately, Mr. Denny is not able to be here, but his son is going to accept on his behalf, Mike Lowe Denny. But Levi is a resident of Eskasoni First Nation and has throughout his life made an important contribution to the preservation of Mi'kmaq language and culture, preserving and teaching Catholic prayers in the Mi'kmaq language. And so now I would call upon Premier Dexter and Josephine Laporte to come forward and to present the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Memorial Elder Award for 2010 to Levi M. Denny, and his son Mike Lowe Denny will accept on his behalf, I believe. Thank you. The second recipient of the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Memorial Elder Award for 2010 is Mary Ellen Robinson of Indian Brook First Nation. Mary Ellen has been selected for her great contribution to the Native Council from its inception in 1974 through to the present day. And during 2009, she was awarded the National Congress of Aboriginal Peoples Order of Canada and is presently the Native Council's Honorary Elder. I'd ask Premier Dexter and our other presenter to come forward and to present this to Mary Ellen Robinson.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the third and final recipient of the Grand Chief Donald Marshall Sr. Memorial Elder Award for 2010 is Sister Veronica Matthews of Eskasoni First Nation. Sister Matthews has worked tirelessly in the service of health care within Nova Scotia and especially for the people of Eskasoni. She's been an avid participant on countless boards and advisory committees, both locally and nationally. And as well, she carries a wealth of medical information and has gained a reputation as an invaluable health resource and advocate for her community. Sister Matthews is here. Premier Dexter and Josephine Laporte will make the presentation.
Congratulations. Thank you.
All of those want to sit there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our second award this afternoon is the Chief Noel Doucette Memorial Youth Award. And this award has been presented since 1997 to an individual or individuals nominated by for their educational achievements as well as for their contributions to their communities. And it is my pleasure this afternoon to announce that the Chief Noel Doucette Memorial Youth Award for 2010 will be awarded to two individuals. And the first of those award winners is Lauren Sillaboy. Lauren is an excellent young role model of both academic excellence and community leadership. She's actively involved in the Native Alcohol and Drug Abuse Counseling Association as a peer helper. For the past 3 years, Lauren has participated in World Vision's 30-hour hunger famine with other members of her community. And in 2009, she co-founded the Eskasoni Multimedia Project. And her science fair project entitled Personality-Related Hand Gestures placed her on Nova Scotia's team, which competed at the 2010 Canada Science Fair in Peterborough, Ontario. So I would now ask Jean Doucette to join Premier Dexter in presenting the Chief Noel Doucette Memorial Award for 2010 to Lauren Sillaboy.
Congratulations. Lauren, have you?
Congratulations. The second recipient of the Chief Noel Doucette Memorial Award for 2010 is Michael R. Denny. Michael is an inspiration and a role model. At 23 years of age, he speaks Mi'kmaq fluently and has never consumed drugs, alcohol, or cigarettes, and lives a traditional and spiritual life. He is a traditional dancer and teacher of the Kajua dance, and has traveled to many powwows to share his talents. As well, he is a supporter of many community initiatives, including the recent Remembering Our Loved Ones Suicide Prevention Walk between Red Bank First Nation and Eel Ground First Nation in New Brunswick. He has been named one of 12 National Aboriginal Role Models for 2010-11 by the National Aboriginal Health Organization. And I again would invite Premier Dexter and June Doucette to come forward and to make the presentation to Michael R. Denny. Congratulations. I'm now going to invite Chief Morley Gugu to introduce the Donald Marshall Scholarship Fund winners.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. At this point, I'd like to ask my colleague, fellow Chief, Chief Gerard Julian, to come up and present awards. Chief Gerard is also the co-chair of the Assembly of Nova Scotia Chiefs. The Grand Chief Donald Marshall Senior Memorial Scholarship supports Mi'kmaq post-secondary students at the diploma, certificate, bachelor, and graduate levels. The annual scholarships are awarded for undergraduate studies and graduate studies. This year's two awards, first one goes to Cherise Paul Gould. Cherise has already achieved a goal from graduating from St. FX with a Bachelor of Education, and by May 2012 will complete a Master's of Education in Administration. Her lifetime career goal is to contribute to the development, promotion, and support of the Mi'kmaq language programs. Cherise is a positive example of a strong Mi'kmaq woman who will succeed in whatever she sets out to do. Cherise? Our second, thank you very much, Ian. Our second award goes to Julie Paulette of Exezoni First Nation. Julie is a fourth-year nursing student at St. FX University and is a member of the Aboriginal Students at X Society, as well as Nursing Society. She also gives back to her alma mater by actively supporting her Aboriginal nursing students. She wants to return to her community as a primary care nurse and focus on health promotions and disease prevention through education. In the long term, she wishes to receive her master's in community health. Julie has received several scholarships and bursaries in nursing, which underscore her commitment to the profession and her focus on excellence. Julie Paulette.
Thank you, Chief Gugu, and certainly congratulations are in order for all our award winners here this afternoon. Let's have a round of applause for them all. As you know, October is Mi'kmaq History Month, and that proclamation was first signed on October the 1st, 1993. And in that proclamation, both the Nova Scotia government and the Mi'kmaq recognize that the peace and friendship aspects of the treaties signed in the 1700s required public awareness of the history and the values and the diversity of cultures. And each year since then, a poster has been developed to commemorate this important event. And this year's design highlights the outstanding achievements of the past year, including the Member 2 400 celebrations, the Mi'kmaq Summer Games, and Her Majesty's the Queen's rural visit. So at this time, I would like to call upon Grand Chief Ben Sillaboy and Grand Captain Andrew Denny to come forward and to unveil this year's Mi'kmaq History Month poster. Very well done. Looks like a great poster. We've reached the point in our program now that involves the symbolic exchange of gifts, and I'm going to now invite Premier Darrell Dexter to come forward to present gifts on behalf of the province of Nova Scotia.
Thank you very much.
And now I'd like to call upon Minister Duncan to come forward for his presentations.
Premier, may I return the favor and
thank you.
Continued good relations
thank you.
Between us all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go away yet.
Grand Chief?
Grand Chief Sillaboy, this is the second time I've had the honor to do this, to
thank
exchange
you
gifts with you.
Thank you very much.
So, continued good relationships.
Great.
Thank you.
And finally, I would like to call upon Grand Chief Ben Sillaboy to conclude the gift exchange on behalf of the Mi'kmaq.
Minister
Duncan?
Minister
Duncan?
Yes.
Thank you, Minister.
You have to do this again.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our ceremony, and I would ask now that I'm going to ask Arlene Stevens to come forward to join us in leading in our national anthem. And Ms. Stevens is going to sing our national anthem in Mi'kmaq. And I would ask that you join with her.
Oh, Canada, gemit kinarinu, all new edibne, when gajid ok nan tuju, sake saluleg, megide muleg, gis nega ugel niek, dante siek, O Canada, anque wulek isa, Mara Miguel, Westa wulkeway. O Canada, anque wulek isa, O Canada, anque wulek Gisa.
Thank you. Maybe seated for a moment. I just want to thank everybody for coming out this afternoon to the ceremony. And it certainly provided us with an opportunity to recognize the Mi'kmaq's contributions to the province's history, our culture, and our economy. And I want to invite all of you to stay afterwards. We have some refreshments downstairs in the lobby. And I just ask that you remain seated until after the members of the official party have left the room. But thanks for coming and have a pleasant afternoon. Thank you.
This podcast was previously aired on Legislative Television. The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purposes of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these televised proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.